Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joydy Nader, and I am a creative life coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am delighted to have my husband, Dudley Denader, back as my guest. Dudley is a business owner, graphic designer, aerial and architectural photographer, writer, musician, singer, songwriter, and an inspiring and fun dad for our son, Xander. This year, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. During the show, we'll be talking about some of the choices we're most glad we've made during the past 40 years and why. Welcome, Dudley.
Oh, hi.
Hi. So, 40 years, oh my gosh, woohoo!
And a new palm tree to show for it, too.
I know. Just for the sake of everybody listening that can't see it because it's not a visual show, I have a beautiful little palm tree necklace that's from Nahoku. Is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dudley got it for me for our 40th wedding anniversary, which was June 26th of this year. And it just is a mind blower, Dudley, that 40 years have gone by since we got married in 1982. The time has just flown by.
Yeah, that's true. It really has gone quickly. Very enjoyable time. It's surprising how enjoyable compared to what I've heard so many other people's lives are like. So I'm very thankful that we've had a wonderful 40 years.
Yeah, me
Hoping
too.
For another 40.
Yeah, oh, wow, we'll be a little old by then.
A little long in the tooth, yeah.
Yeah, a little long in the tooth. But look at Ben, you know, our friend Ben, he's 101 and going strong, so you never know. But, yeah, before we met, I remember thinking that the three things I really wanted in a relationship is love, creativity, and fun. And I couldn't handle the idea of marrying somebody that wasn't creative and didn't enjoy creativity. And I also knew that, especially growing up with my mom as my mom, that I wanted to have somebody who was fun to spend my time with and my life with. And oh my gosh, you are all three. You're loving, you're kind, you're creative, you're fun, definitely.
A little insane, but that's okay.
A little insane at times, yes. But, you know, crazy can be fun, too. All right, so we'll start. We already started with the fact that we got married in June of 1982, and that was so much fun, the wedding up at the ranch, and then we went to the Hyatt Maui and Kauai. It was my very first, our first time, both of our first times going to Hawaii.
Well, we went to Kauai at the Sheraton first for, I don't remember how many days, three or four days.
And
then we went to the Hyatt Maui.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, and remember Aunt Bobby and Uncle Don had gone to Maui for their first time, and then they were going to Kauai, and we had one day together on Maui.
Yeah, and they were on the plane. We didn't even realize they were on the same plane. That was weird.
Yeah, that was really weird. They were going for their 25th anniversary, and we were going for our honeymoon. And, yeah, I have to say that, you know, we picked the absolute right place to go, especially the Hyatt Maui. That was such an incredible experience, and I'm sure you'll always remember me going into the lobby and going, oh my God, Dudley, it's the one that was in Heart to Heart on TV. Oh gosh.
Yes. Hence the little tenet that both Xander and I go by is as soon as we get to Maui, we go down the path on Kaanapali, and you are at least 50 yards ahead of us because you're bouncing around, introducing yourself to everybody. merrily humming and singing. Just
well, we're kind of getting ahead of the schedule because Xander's not in the timeline yet. But yeah, that's, oh my gosh, I can't think of a place I would rather spend a honeymoon than the Hyatt Regency Maui and Celebration Vacations. It's definitely our favorite place, and I can't wait until we finish putting the vocals down for Penguins in Paradise, our song about the penguins, the tropical penguins at the Hyatt Maui. That's going to be really fun. It's fun to sing that with you.
Yeah, we just have to get the vocals redone, but that's just a, shouldn't be that difficult to do.
Yeah. So anyway, and then in 1985, I started working with you part of the time at Denader and Associates. At the time, it was Denader and Associates.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I remember those days because the computers had just come out, and we were using some computers in our work, but it was, gosh, I remember the first IBM computer I got had a processor that was raging at a just outlandish 64K. And, you know, the computers of today run in gigabytes, not kilobytes, and 64 kilobytes.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable difference. And watching computers evolve as our business evolved and being able to do more graphics on the computer and how exciting that was, and watching all the other businesses and service agencies get excited about each new piece of equipment and all the advances in software, and watching Adobe come up and the first Illustrator, just unbelievable to work with a vector file and to be able to create things with the line and fill that the vector is. And I, just incredible time. It was just really a blossom of not only computers, especially with regards to graphics, but our business at
mm-hmm.
the same time. It was really cool.
Yeah, and I have to say that I would not have stayed working in graphic design with you. I mean, not because of you, but if we had not gone over to computers, because I couldn't do all X-Acto knives, and I didn't have the patience for that, and counting characters and trying to figure out how many would fit in a space, and oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was the real nuts and bolts of the whole nine yards, and it's funny because I feel that it gives me an extra edge as a designer because I understand the basics of it rather than just going straight to a computer and being able to just lay everything out so simply and easily. It gives me a greater appreciation, if nothing else, for, you know, what the computer can accomplish.
Well, there's that, and then there's also the aspect of the fact that it's an art, graphic art. And graphic design. And so you have to have experience with design and art and graphics in order to use the programs in their best ways. You know, I remember when people would say, oh, I got this program, now I can do my own designs. But the thing is that when you take InDesign and lay out a book or a newsletter or a offering memorandum or whatever, you know, you're designing every one of the picture boxes, every one of the text boxes, and then putting in the text, and you're figuring out which fonts and what size fonts and what colors to use, which I love all that. And but it takes a lot of experience and a lot of learning, you know. And I remember I did that speech a few weeks ago for Toastmasters, We Learn by Doing, and it's so true. I mean, it seems so obvious to me now, but it's how we learn. We learn by doing. We don't learn just by watching or hearing about something.
Hence the old tenet, practice, practice, practice. And, you know, you've known me. I won't go up on stage. I won't go to West Coast Songwriters or any place on stage if I haven't gotten that song down pat. And you know me, and oftentimes we'll have a sheet of paper, and you'll mark down the number of times we practice this, and oftentimes before we sing a song on stage, we'll have practiced it at least 50 times.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just,
especially
that's the aspect of graphics, too. And then everything you see, you evaluate. This is also what I had told a lot of my interns is, you know, when you're going down the street, evaluate the way a stop sign, the way that the letters are, you know, staged so that you can see them clearly and so on and so forth. Or how about that billboard? What pops on the billboard? What makes you look at it? Or what, is there a problem? Did you figure out who the billboard was for or what the message was? And all these things, as you're growing up as a graphic designer, all of a sudden the world becomes kind of like your tool. It's everything you evaluate and use as you go forward as an example of either good or bad in terms of a graphics representation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
Sorry,
helps
I'm
you.
Getting a little long-winded
Well,
here.
It helps you collect ideas and also helps you realize and develop your own taste for what you feel works and what gets the point across and what is attractive and not, as you were saying, some of the things lately, it's like they just want your attention, but they don't care if you enjoy looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Very true. Well,
yeah.
It's a fine line between that. And, you know, some of the times you'll look at it and go, oh, but there's something about it that draws you, you know. So there, it's a fine line. And then there's also, you know, just our own personal taste, and that varies
mm-hmm.
between people. Anyway, we're kind of getting off track here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so and then from 1986, that was a biggie. We went to Europe for my first time. You had been there before. And we met your Hungarian relatives and drove through Germany, Austria, Hungary, and then to Switzerland before flying home. That was amazing. That was so much fun.
Yeah, it was so cool to meet my relatives after, I mean, hearing about them ever since I was old enough to understand that my dad had been Hungarian, still really was, although he was
mm-hmm.
a dyed and true American. He just loved America and everything about it and the English language. He would study the dictionary. I've never known anybody else that would just pour through the dictionary. But my dad did it all the time. But he had a wonderful kind of eclectic vocabulary because of it. He'd come up with these words and he'd look at all of us going, don't you know what that means?
Well, remember, I remember you had a huge dictionary that used to be his that we kept at
yeah.
the office down at the houseboat. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of words in there. So, yeah.
But it was great to meet Uncle Lotzi, and especially spending time with him. The rest of the family, very much so, Jordan and his wife and so on and so forth.
No, he wasn't married yet.
Yeah, he wasn't married at the time.
No, Lotzi and Ava and with Rojanini was still there.
Rojanini was still alive. And we spent time in Lionfalo and we went up north to their summer home.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really an incredible trip. It was wonderful. And then driving back through Austria, and as we had mentioned to many people, because of that trip was in 86, that was the same summer that Chernobyl decided to go
crazy.
Into oblivion.
mm-hmm.
So there was nobody in Europe. It was like deserted. So every time we'd walk in or drive into a town, especially in Austria, our favorite country, there was just nobody there. We'd drive right up into the biggest Gasthof and get the best room in the place for very little money because there was just nobody there.
Yeah, and we loved that everybody thought we were from England instead of the United States because
yeah.
there were no Americans over there that year. Yeah,
weren't considered the American paradigm of tourists, which are
yeah,
really plaid shorts, you know, pants and socks
loud.
With shoes, and dark socks and loud shirt and loud person. Anyway. Going on.
Well, anyway, through the 80s, though, we did so many fun vacations and trips. We went to Vail and Deer Valley and Banff.
Well, we should explain
Spaw
to
Valley.
The people that are listening that we got married in 1982, but we really didn't want to have children right away.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both, well, I was in particular long in the tooth at that point in time. I was 35. But I just, you know, didn't want to go into a marriage and immediately have children. I wanted to do all the things that I had planned on exploring with my wife. In other words, going skiing, going to Hawaii, back to Hawaii, which we mm-hmm. did, and all the different aspects of just being together and not having to worry about a family straight away. So we waited quite a while until we had Xander.
Yeah.
And those trips all over the place, Banff, as you were saying, Deer Valley, Vail, and then, you know, always my love of Squaw Valley and the amount of time we spent there.
Yeah.
Indelibly etched in my brain, and now we're working for Squaw Valley. Well, it's now Palisades, Tahoe.
Yeah, yeah.
But interesting to see how that all came about.
And then 1989, though, we went back. We went to the Big Island of Hawaii for our first and only time, and we stayed at what was at the time the Hyatt Waikoloa. It was pretty new at the time, and we got to swim with the dolphins on our actual anniversary that year. And
yeah,
Xander
to
was
go
with
back
us.
To that hotel.
Yeah, Xander was with us, and he was swimming with the dolphins while he was on his way here.
Yeah, he was inside you, but he was there. That was a trip. That was really fun. I really enjoyed that a lot. And, you know, I've heard so many people talk about, dolphins being forced into captivity and so on. But
mm-hmm.
when you look at the expressions on their faces and you see the interaction with the people, you kind of wonder if they're not having just as much fun as we were. And that
that
claim.
I think it depends on the environment for the dolphins, because over at the Hyatt Waikoloa, they were in what was a water pool. It wasn't a chlorine pool that we were swimming in with them.
No, that was seawater.
Yeah, and the people that were working with them so obviously loved them and everything. And just,
right.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience.
Well, they
I
also rotate
forever.
Them. You know, it's not like there's the same dolphins there for years, you know, and that's one of the things that they mentioned to us when we were there. And it makes a whole lot of sense, and it also takes the onus off a captive animal, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was an amazing trip. And then 1990, January 1st, Xander came into our lives.
That changed everything.
Oh, my gosh, that changed everything. And in a great way, in such
yeah.
a fun way. And I remember taking Xander with us to work at the houseboat, and we were living in Fairfax at the time. We moved to Fairfax when he was a baby, and so we would drive down to Sausalito to the houseboat for the office to do our design work, and we created that little play area for Xander in the living room, and my computer was like right above that, and so I could keep an eye on him and play Sesame Street videos for him.
Yeah, the
as
favorite
got a little older.
When we were sitting in the living room at Fairfax, and we were just relaxing. I don't remember why Xander wasn't with us, but he was walking at the time and just starting to talk. And he walked into the room and spread his arms out like a little performer that he was. And he looked at both of us and said, "I adore Bill."
Oh. Yeah, I remember that.
I think we
instead
were
of
both
I'm adorable, because he kept
and
hearing.
Die of laughter at that point in time.
Yeah, he kept hearing that he was adorable, and so he's going, "I adore Bill." Yeah, that was really fun. Oh my gosh! And then 1992. We'll skip ahead to 1992, and because we don't have all day to do this, but that was when you took that first aerial of the Golden Gate Bridge, wasn't it? During that year.
Yeah, what that? Oh, there were so many things. You don't have them all written down here. That started it, and I was working for Colliers International Hotels at the time. Or no, that was just Colliers International at that point, because I don't even think
mm-hmm.
Colliers International Hotels was in force at that point. Bob hadn't been doing that then. But Colliers International, but then we also got PKF Consulting and started doing the Trends in the Hotel Industry book. It was the year that we also were introduced and started working for Walk Up Law Office,
mm-hmm.
which has changed names twice since then because of the partners changing.
And we're
Marin
still working
Management
with them.
Was slow, yeah. A little bit after that. It wasn't in 92. It was, I think, in about 97 or 96.
Oh, okay.
There.
I knew it was in the 90s.
Who else did we go to work for at that point? There was somebody, another major company.
Well, Marin Management, but they are now, what are they, Hogan Hospitality now, although
right.
that just happened, a year ago or so? I don't
right.
know, within the last year. But you're still working with them, too, doing photography and design, graphic design for them. And
yeah,
we love our clients. We love our clients. We have some amazing clients. Then, and we went to Oahu for our first time, for our 10-year anniversary, and Xander stayed with Grandma when he was two, and he missed us, and we missed him, and so we didn't go back to Hawaii until 1999, I think it was, something like that. You know, we had been on so many trips anyway. It was fun just taking him up to visit Grandma up at the ranch or doing things here, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, the other thing we realized during that vacation when we went to Oahu is that we didn't want to be away from him that long. It just didn't sit well with either one of us. And Grandma had talked to us on the phone and said that he had been crying nearly the whole time we were gone. So it was felt on both sides. We decided we weren't going to do that anymore. And so until he got old enough to really travel easily, which was when he was about 8 or 9, we didn't really do anything, a large vacation like that.
Yeah.
Went skiing, though, a lot. I know he started skiing at Bear Valley when he was 3.
Yeah.
Just sliding. We had those little plastic skis that I think your aunt owned.
Yeah.
And we strapped him into those and just had him slide around, and he was just ecstatic. And then the next year, at age 4, he was on regular skis in ski school, I think.
Up at Squaw? Oh, no, it was at Sugar Bowl and then Squaw.
At Sugar Bowl, right. So I remember I had to, when we'd take them, they'd have the lessons in the morning for the kids, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd go and they'd play little games, and they had a little rope tow and a little area that was separate from everybody else so they could just practice and so on. And they'd practice their wedge turns and hockey stops and stuff like that. And when I'd pick him up at lunchtime, then we'd go out skiing with him, and I'd put him between my legs and ski on the bunny slopes, not on anything steep or anything. But he'd be right between my legs. But I remember I'd get home, I had all these bruises where he'd kicked me in the legs and the shins with his ski.
Oh, but we had so much fun, yeah. You know, I mean, we were a fun-loving tripod right from the beginning, the three of us, yeah.
Always enjoyed being together. It's unusual to see three people that have grown into life, you know, really different people, just stay so totally together as a tripod, as a threesome. It's a wonderful thing. I just really celebrate it every day.
Yeah, me too. I'm very grateful.
Still happy
and
when we
get
a chance to talk to him and spend time with him and so on. It just always makes me happy.
Yeah. And then in 1995, we moved here to Greenbrae, and Xander started kindergarten at Basish. And then the next year, we bought the condo that we live in now still. So that was in 1996, and Xander started first grade. And then in 97, we started working on the Kentfield School Directory, and you started helping with the baseball and the Kentfield Schools Foundation. And, wow, you know.
Kentfield Schools Foundation was in 98, I believe.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. Baseball was... Earlier, I was the commissioner of baseball for the minors league 2 years running. That's right. And then the majors, the juniors league, the secondary league, it goes minors, majors, juniors, which is strange, but that's the way it goes. And I was the commissioner of the juniors as well. But that was in 2001, I believe, 2000, 2001.
Yeah. Well, it all kind of, you know, a lot of these things started in the years that I had written down on the list, but they continued for a lot of years after, or at least a few years after. And one of the really exciting things that happened was in the year 2000, we were awarded one of the community service awards from the Kentfield schools, and oh my gosh, that was so exciting.
That was really exciting. I didn't realize how prestigious an award it was until you consider that there's what, how many thousands of families? There are over 1,000 families in the district, and they isolate out what, two? Three?
Yeah, per year. I think it's two. I think it's two per year, but I'm not sure.
Per year.
Yeah.
And then they do a big deal. They have a big organizational meeting, and they just really do it up. And they do a lot of research and background, and they write speeches for you. And, oh, boy, it was amazing. That was really an incredible time. And I feel very honored that we got that award. And I love doing the work. The volunteer work has always been part of what I consider my gift to humanity. That sounds stupid, but you know what I mean.
It's a contribution.
Like,
yeah.
Contribution is much better. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I love the word contribution.
It always makes me feel good to do something like that. But in those years when we were able to contribute along those lines, and then it showed Xander, you know, the same thing, that we were not only part of the community, but, you know, really helping, making things happen, changing the environment where it could be made better. And it just, that was an amazing time. It was really good.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then in 2001, I started writing morning pages at the beginning of 2001, but it was the first time that we took Xander to Maui, to the Hyatt Maui, celebrating our 20th anniversary. Early, remember, you decided you wanted to do it a year early because you felt like it was, you were being superstitious or something. I don't know, anyway, or maybe just anxious. I don't know, but that was when you designed the KLA 5 logo. You want to tell them a little bit about that?
Yeah, I remember booking that trip and thinking, you know, I'm booking our 20th anniversary, but it's really only our 19th.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of just skewed the dates and just didn't think about it so much. And Ronnie McAfee, who was the assistant to, who was the GM at that time?
Barry Lewin.
Barry Lewin, that's right. Ronnie's just an amazing person, but she took it in as a grain of salt, didn't even think about it or, you know, check the dates or do anything like that. Just welcomed us with open arms like, oh, you know, we're so glad you're coming back and so on and so forth. And I thought, wow, it's not that big a deal. But they made it a big deal. And that really made me feel entirely different about Hawaii and that hotel and everything with regards to it. And when I got there, I remembered that, well, there's a good friend of mine, Bill Chapman's dad, Rudy, had built one of the first commercial catamarans. It was a 50-foot long catamaran, and they used it for snorkeling and, oh, cocktail sails and, you know, excursions and stuff like that. And gorgeous boat. Beautiful.
At the Hyatt Maui.
The Hyatt Maui. It was called the KLA 5. And I remember hearing all about it. It was there when we were married. And I remember seeing it. And I think we did go on a snorkel trip or maybe it was a sunset sail. I don't remember. But we did
on
one. And when we came back, I remember it was still there in 2000. 2000. And I had asked Ronnie about a T-shirt. I said, I went down to the little shack where they have all the stuff for doing scuba and surf and sail and stuff like that down on the beach. And I asked them about T-shirts for the KLE 5, and they said, well, we're waiting for a new logo. And so when I went back up to the room, I dialed up Ronnie, and I said, you know, are there any new T-shirts? Because I didn't know whether or not the people down there really knew what the bottom line was. And I didn't know if they had a new logo design, and this guy just hadn't been aware of it. So I called her, and she goes, no, we're trying to find an artist and have the logo redesigned, because it's just kind of old-looking. And I said, to myself, And I had a laptop computer, and I went upstairs, and I did understand and had been using Illustrator and vector lines, and so I drew this logo, which had a variety. It was similar to the logo, but a much better upgrade, different font, different shape, style, everything. And I submitted it back to Ronnie. I said, here, what about this? Just as almost like a thank you for putting us in this room, which she had given us because she thought it was our 20th anniversary, which was only the 19th.
They didn't give it to us. They upgraded us to
they
it.
They upgraded us. But
yeah.
Whatever. I mean, that's still a gift. In any case, she received the thing, and then she went to see Barry Lewin, and it wasn't very long. I mean, maybe 15, 20 minutes later, I got a call, and they loved it. They loved the logo. They want to use it. They wanted the art and so on and so forth. And they said, well, I gave you the art. It's there. You know, so, but let me finish it up and make sure everything is where it should be. And so when we left, I went home, and I did finish up the art, and I put the rest of the signature for the hotel and the resort and so on at the bottom and sent it back over. And they were all excited. And then they wanted to have me help them do the graphics for the boat, which involved putting a large emblem on the sail on both sides and an emblem on the hull and then a stripe on the hull that had to be graduated because I had used a graduation in the background of the V for KLE 5. So it was really a fun thing to be able to do, but it was this act of love back and forth because I would give it to them, and then the next time we would go to the resort, we couldn't pay for anything. We go on a luau, and it would be provided gratuit. And not only that, but they would announce us as VIPs, along with the other group of people that were VIPs, at whatever event we were on. So
it was pretty fun.
It taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about giving and not requesting anything in return, but being given whatever you want in return. It's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in 2002, we had gone back. That's when we were treated like the VIPs because of the logo.
Right.
And that was also the year, I'd forgotten to write this down, but that was the year that we saw Wayne Dyer over on Maui. And you and Xander had found him when I was in the bathroom at Leilani's. And Xander runs over and goes, Mom, Dad says you got to come right now. And I'm going, why?
Well, here I'm on the beach with Wayne Dyer, you know, don't know him that well. I know that you did and so on and so forth. I'm sitting there bundling myself to death, trying to get him not to walk away before you got a chance to finish what you were doing and get back out there. That was really hysterical.
Yeah,
but he's
that was
a very
gracious
man, and he was very nice to me. He didn't make me feel, you know, unusual or strange at all.
You know, he always loved having people talk to him about his books and to thank him, and he just, you know, he gives great hugs, or gave great hugs. He's been an angel for quite a while now, but he's I'm so grateful that we were able to spend time with him in person and on Maui, which was especially cool because that's where he lived and where he loved to be, and so he was really in his element when he was there.
Oh, and so many times we would see him at Whaler's Village eating ice cream with his kids and his family, or out on the beach, or swimming. We saw him swimming because he used to swim all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, got Sander and I started. We'd take our fins and our goggles. Rather than the face mask, we just used goggles for swimming. And walk down to Whaler's Village, which is, what, about half a mile or so?
I don't know.
It's a
nice
more.
Walk, though.
And then
swim
back.
It's around a 20-minute walk.
Yeah, and I just love those times, and we would just hang in the water and wait for turtles. That was one of our things. And there are a lot of turtles that live in the reefs right outside where the Hyatt Beach is, right in that area. So that was wonderful. That was time.
Yeah, I remember a lot of times waiting for you at the room and looking out on the Lanai and going, where are they?
You'd usually see us, too. I remember you'd go, oh, it took a while, but then I saw you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, we only have 24 minutes left, so we've got to zip along because we're only in year 2002. And 2003, at the end of that, was when we started recording your songs with Robert Berry over at Soundtech Studios. And that started a whole exciting time in our life. Do you realize that next year, in 2003, in November, it'll be 20 years since we started recording songs with Robert?
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Well, it's you that really did this, though. You heard my songs, and you heard me whack through, you know, what I could and so on and so forth, and you realized that I had some original work there, and you kept hearing it, and then you would wonder what was going on with it, and so you sent me to a songwriter's class through the Learning Annex, and I got involved with an A&R guy named Jason Dauman from L.A., who listened to my stuff, tried to push it, although I don't think very successfully. But then it got me started, and that gave me the impetus to ask you about Robert, because I knew that you had Robert as a friend, and I was just a little jealous of Robert because you kept saying, oh, I want to go down and visit Robert, and I kept thinking, we're just newly married, and she's visiting this other guy, and I don't really think this is appropriate. But in any case, it was always just a friendship, and I appreciated that after the fact. But then being able to go down there and actually go into a studio where I felt comfortable rather than the studios I had been in previously where I never felt comfortable was a wonderful thing. And then to be able to see my songs that were only in my head really just transform and really manifest themselves as these beautiful pieces. I mean, that I really didn't expect it. I really didn't expect it. I wanted to get it down just so that I could say in perpetuity later in my life, I did this type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't expect that I would really like it to the point that I did and that it would inspire me to continue to write and to continue to flesh out the songs that I did have. And that still goes on today. And it's such a wonderful part of my life. And I'm really glad that I gave up being a professional musician, because music just to play and to enjoy it is so much more rewarding than trying to make money doing it. And that's the thing that always drove me crazy. But
well, you know, the thing is that's why I always say live your music. The name of the show is Live Your Music. It's because what we need to do is we all need to live our heart's desires. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to do it for a living, but we're doing it because of the joy and the happiness that it gives us, and also the happiness it can give to other people as well, and to encourage other people to do that too. And you encouraged Xander, and he started learning to play the guitar during high school, and then you two started writing songs together. And
D2 in particular, we wrote a lot of those songs together.
Yeah, and the first album, Holiday on Earth, he did his first two songs were on that one as bonus tracks, and then
right.
Yeah, you two wrote the songs for D2, Denader's second album. I think he has four or so that are his, and then you've got about that many, and then there's the rest of them, I think, are collaborations of the two
right.
of you.
Right.
Yeah. I love both of those albums. It's so awesome to still have those albums available, and people can hear them on Spotify if they want to. They can hear them there.
Yeah, look for The Denaders, though. That's the thing. We should have just put it under Denader instead of The Denaders.
You know what? I like the Donators. It sounds more like a band. And it includes all three of us. Instead of just being Donator, that would be just you. So, you know, there you go. That's why.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. Anyway, we've only got 20 minutes left, and we're only on 2007. So at that point, we were looking for colleges for Xander. And
you forgot Toastmasters.
Oh, yeah, I joined Toastmasters at the very end of 2004. Why did that change my life in so many ways? Gave me the courage. I was so afraid to do it, Dudley. I was so afraid to join because I was so afraid to talk in front of people. And then
now we can't get you to shut up.
Yeah, well, now you can't get me to shut up. But then it also gave me the courage to do other things, like take the singing lessons when I got jealous because
right.
you and Xander were singing for, what was it, 6 weekends at Marin Steak and Spirits in 2007, just before he graduated from high school. And I wanted to sing with you guys, so I started taking singing lessons, and she told me I just needed to learn to breathe, and I needed to practice and practice and practice and practice. So, yeah. So you guys
inspired me. I was talking
to
Hill about that yesterday, about what you learned and what I learned from the lessons we took from Lenora Black and, you know, her style of operatic song instruction, vocal instruction, you
mm-hmm.
know, which is really the basis of it. But it really changed the way that my voice sounds, and it changed the way that I can manipulate notes. It was amazing. It was really good. I'm so glad I had a chance to do that. And that, again, is because of you. You did it first.
Well, you know, we do it with each other. That's, I think, one of the keys to why our relationship has been fun and creative for so long, is because of the fact that we inspire and encourage each other to go for these things that are, like, super scary but exciting at the same time, you know. So, yeah. And then 2008, Xander graduated from Redwood High School, and we released the D2, the second album at that point, and Xander went to Chapman University and Dodge College of Film and Media Arts and loved it, absolutely loved it, and did really well in there. And I'm just going to whiz through a couple of these things because we're running out of time. And then 2009, I self-published for the first time The Art of Living a Life You Love and wrote the lyrics for the song Imagine. That was my first time writing lyrics for a song. And then in 2010, Imagine was recorded by Robert, but not till the end of 2011 did we go down and you and I recorded the actual vocals for the song down there and finished up the music. So that it was just before 2012 that got done. And that was also 2011 was when we changed the name of the business to Donator Design and Photography so it would tell people what we do.
Well, it's funny because Donator
and Associates
was the name previously, and then it was Donator Marketing Design for a brief period in between.
Uh-huh.
And then I started getting so much work as a photographer. Your brother, Dwayne, had been shooting a lot of the hotels and doing some of the work, if it especially was out of the area, that I was doing for Colliers International Hotels, selling
mm-hmm.
hotels and doing offering memorandums. But that was a major change for me, was to go into a name that actually represented what I did, because I started, when your brother left, I started doing most of the photography. And
mm-hmm.
it's fine. I really enjoyed doing it. But when I'd get to a place and somebody would say, are you the photographer? I'd hand them a business card that didn't have photography on the name of the card. And I started thinking, you know, I've really got to change the name to include photography. And it's really cumbersome being that long. And then the fact that I do two things, design and photography, sometimes doesn't sit well with a lot of people. But in any case, it worked well.
Well, that was... Yeah, that was mostly with BNI, and they want to spot people into business that's only this business, and you can't compete with the other businesses. And that's why that wasn't a good fit for people like you that are creative and can do more than one thing. It's just ridiculous to have to narrow it down to one or the other. You know. So
and 2012 was another huge year too.
Yeah, yeah. That was our 30th anniversary that year, and Xander graduated from Chapman University in film production, and film editing were his emphasis for that. We went to Maui for a celebration vacation for all of it. And Xander got his first assistant editor job while we were on Maui that year. The last night we were there,
we
got to celebrate that.
I will never forget that night. Because I remember we were out by the pool.
Uh-huh.
And I think he had had one of those Oreo smoothie type things that you guys used to like.
That he loved. Well, no,
yeah,
he liked those.
Tai
I like
which is my favorite drink, which is like enough that you could light it on fire if you put a flame near it. But we were just enjoying the pool down there, having our little treat before we went to dinner later on, and he got a note on his phone. And he looked over and he said, "I got the job." And he had been as his first in the, what do you call it, industry, the film industry job for, he was an assistant editor for the show Wipeout, that crazy show where
That's the one that he got while we were there, was the Wipeout job.
It was
the
Wipeout job as the assistant editor, which is amazing because you would think, oh, assistant editor isn't that big a job. Well, when you consider Wipeout has, for each different shot, he was explaining it to me, Xander was explaining it to me, for each shot, there are 15 cameras that are trained on the subject. So you can imagine from an assistant editor standpoint, you've got just for every minute of footage, you've got 15 times that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So you can imagine how much has to be viewed, how much has to be cataloged and, you know, put in spaces and stuff like that. But he really loved it. He did really well. And it gave him a leg up in the industry that he really needed.
Yeah, that's true.
That was really cool. But that all started when we were on Maui.
Yeah, yeah. And also 2012 was when I got my coaching certification and started doing some coaching. And then 2013 is when I republished my book. We re-edited it and cover on with the palm trees and published it with Balboa Press.
Right.
And December of that year was when I started this show. December 2013, I started the Live Your Music show.
Well, it'll be 20 years, or no, 10 years, sorry, next year.
Yeah, exactly, 10. Let's not rush things. Things do go fast enough as it is. And then 2014 was a big year for you and me, though, because we joined West Coast Songwriters, thanks to Bob Crane and Laura Lee Brown, inviting us to come as guests. And
also, that was the year, unfortunately, that my friend Frank passed away. But before he did, we had visited him quite a few times. And I got inspired to relive the time that he and I and Mark Carrington had gone to Europe. And I had taken a guitar and $100 and my return plane ticket. And we played all over the continent. So that was an incredible thing. And so that year when I came back, when we got together with Frank in 2014, it was actually in 2013 probably, he passed in February 2014. But we wrote down all the different, like an outline of what happened during that trip. And that's when I started writing Europe for a Song, which is the story of that trip in the summer of 1971, and especially with the emphasis on all the popular music that we played and that was really hitting Europe at that time, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and the Beatles, and Stones, and, you know, a number of other really wonderful artists that we played and people recognized and enjoyed. So that was an amazing trip.
That's an amazing story, and I can't wait for you to finish the book. And originally it was going to be a screenplay, and I think it would be an amazing movie. It would be a really fun one. Filmed throughout Europe and with the fun music during it. We only have 10 minutes left, though, and we're only on 2014. So 2015 we became co-managers with Bob and Laura Lee for West Coast Songwriters, and that's been amazing. In 2016, we went back to Sound Tech and recorded with Robert Believe and In the Moment, and that was, I think, the year that Xander started working on the show F is for Family. And
oh, yeah, that was a huge thing, his first scripted show, and a wonderful show. It was really well written and
animated.
Well
acted. Yeah. Scripted animated.
Yeah. Scripted animated. But yeah. Bill Burr, Laura Dern, Justin Long, I mean, you know, a number of great people's names and voices, and he really got in the mix of it and did a wonderful job with that, and that really ported his way into his new job, which he just started this year.
I think, yeah, he started it towards the beginning of this year.
Yeah, which is the Futurama rebuild for the third time, or is it the fourth
time? I think it might be the third. I don't know. Anyway, we got to keep it short. But the Futurama, just so everybody will know, this is a dream come true for him. He was one of his favorite animated shows back when he was 9 years old. Then they brought it back while he was in college, I believe, and then now they're bringing it back again. And because he did such a great job on F is for Family, they actually called him and asked him to come in and interview, and he got the job right away. And so he's working with the editor who's worked on Futurama a lot before in the past, Paul, and having a great time and loving it. And luckily only 8 minutes away from where he lives in Burbank, so that's another big plus, because he used to have to commute to Hollywood for like sometimes 45 minutes or an hour and a half.
Yeah,
because of all the traffic. So that's been really exciting for him. And oh my gosh, we've had so much fun, and we just keep having fun. My only regret is that we don't get to see Xander in person more often, but I'm so thankful that he's happy. And that's always been the most important thing to me, is for people to be happy. I've always felt like I'm here to be happy and contribute happiness in whatever ways that I can.
Okay, we're getting off subject again.
True.
So 2018, I really had been a remote pilot, a drone pilot for a few years. I think I got my first drone in 2014. But in 2018, I studied all the stuff I needed to know for ground school for the FAA, and took the test and was awarded a remote pilot's license from the FAA to be able to actually fly drones and then sell the footage. So that was wonderful.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting too. And you are so good at doing the aerials with the drone and doing the ground shots too, and the design, and just finished designing two offering memorandums for Woodmont through Greg Galley. So that was really fun too. Oh, God, we have so much fun. And then we went back and recorded more songs, Free Fall and Smile and Angels in the Sun with Robert. And
right,
Angels in the Sun's done, but yeah, but you're still wanting to do some tweaks to Smile and Free Fall. So they're not quite done, according to you. And although I think they sound fantastic, so I'm really happy with them, even the way they are. And let's see, more singing, more songwriting, more design, more photography, more fun. We just have such a good time together. And is there something else that you want to talk about, or do you want me to play Free Fall? It's 3.5 minutes, so we need to do it soon if we're going to do that. You want to just talk, or do you want to play the song?
I think, you know, the song isn't that important. I think we could talk about it a little bit.
All right, let's talk about those three songs then.
Yeah, because the songs that we recorded recently were Smile, Free Fall, and Angels in the Sun. And Smile was a song that I had really wanted to write kind of on the same kind of level as Happy from Pharrell Williams. And I just loved the feeling of that song, just and the smiles that it made whenever anyone would play it. And people would bounce. And I just thought
dance.
The same thing.
Yeah.
And so I designed and wrote Smile, which is not at all like happy. But it's my own version of how to make people feel good. And the electric condition you get when you look across the room and you see somebody and they have a like look on their face and they smile at you, it does something to you. It changes you inside. You get a feeling from that interaction. And that was a great deal of what I felt the song Smile embodies. I wanted it to have that feeling, and it really does. It's a silly song. We end up laughing during it, but it always makes me smile. It always makes me feel better when I finish it. So that was great. And then Free Fall was really out of nowhere. I mean, it's a completely different song than anything else. I know it sounds like the name of another song that is by an artist not to be named and so on and so forth, but it's got an entirely different feeling to it. The Free Fall I'm talking about is, again, that feeling when you look in someone's eyes, when you can tell there's an interest in you. In other words, not just, hey, how are you, my friend, but I want something to go beyond this interest. And that feeling when you first see it, when you look at your significant other, you recall the time that you first looked at them and you connected with their eyes, it you feel it in the middle of your body. I mean, you really feel that sensation. And so that's what that song was really written about, was that instant that you see and recognize that other person's feeling.
Yeah,
so that was
and that happened
and then,
to us, too.
It did.
Yeah, and you're right about Smile. It makes me smile. It makes everybody smile when we sing it, too. I've noticed that the audience usually smiles as well.
Well, they kind of have to. I mean, we're sitting there smiling and giggling and everything else. They don't have much choice unless they're really made of stone or something.
Unless they're grumpy grumps. Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, though, that reminds me of Sleigh Ride in the Sky and how
it changed. Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that one, but that one's so beautiful. I can't wait to have that one recorded. And I don't want to name names, but one of our West Coast songwriter members said that he was not really into Christmas. He's kind of bah humbug. And when he heard the song, he went, you know, I think I got converted. Into the joy of Christmas.
It's probably the biggest compliment everybody's ever paid my song.
And then Angels in the Sun, I don't think we mentioned that yet, but we've got 2 minutes left. And Angels in the Sun we wrote together for our moms, because I'd always thought of my mom, since she made her transition to being an angel, as being my angel in the sun. And so, you know, we really like that thought of thinking of the people we love as being angels, and that when we go out in the sunshine, that they're shining their love down on us, and that's what that song's about. And Billy, you did a beautiful job on the music and the lyrics. Working on that with you was a joy, and recording it with Robert was a joy.
Yeah, the music was interesting because it was a lick that I had developed a long time ago, and I didn't really have any way to plug it into anything. Because it's a jig. It's a dun, 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 that sort of a thing, which is kind of a jig. It's and there was just not a song that really applied to that sound that I had, that I had lyrics for or a melody for. And then when we started writing this, I went, wow, I can use that music. And so we married the lyrics and then the music that I had written previously. Well, it was modified quite a bit, actually, but started being written by me a great deal of time before that. But I really enjoy that song as well. I think that it's one of those ones where people can remember their loved ones and think of them fondly, and it's just a nice, beautiful, warm, giving song. It's just, I really enjoy playing it, and I like listening to it as well. So I'm really glad we did that.
I am super glad. And, you know, we've only got about 40 seconds left, and I just want to say, hey, 40 seconds left. Happy 40th anniversary year, Headless. Yeah, 40. Woohoo! I love it. I love it. Love it. I love you, and I love Xander, and I love our life, and I'm so thankful for it. And what I wish for everyone out there is happiness, happiness and creativity and fun, and for everybody to know that they're creative and that life can be fun.
The only thing I have to say is there's only one piece of advice that I would give anybody, and that is do what you love.
Yeah, do what you love.
Do what you love. Don't concentrate on anything else. Don't go to work and go to work for somebody else doing something that you can't stand. Find a way to do what you love, and you will be happy in your life.
Yeah, it's so true, and that's what I did. I started working with you part-time at first and then later full-time, and it's, you know, you have to do what you love. You're right, and that's when you get really good at it and also when you have a happy life. Well, we're out of time, so we're going to have to get going. But
all right, I love
you. I love you, too. Thank you for making life so much fun for me and Xander and all the people that we know.
I don't know about that, but I love you, and happy 40th.
Happy 40th. Bye, everybody. Remember, live your music. Bye for now.